Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're Zechus Sukkah, Daf Lamed Aleph, the third parak, Luv HaGazel. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, a brisa stated, Gazel Eitzim V'Sichok Behen, Divrei Kol Einu El Dameh Eitzim. If one stole pieces of wood and made a sukkah with them, all agree that the original owner has the right to receive only the value of the wood, and the robber may keep the sukkah. The Gemara brings an incident where a certain elderly woman came before Rabbi Nachman and said to him, the Reish Galus and all the Rabbanan of the Reish Galus's house have been sitting in a stolen sukkah, for its wood has been stolen from me. She screamed, demanding that her wood be returned, but Rabbi Nachman paid no attention to her. She said to him, a woman whose father had 318 servants, which Rashi says is a reference to Abraham Avinu, who owned 318 servants, is screamed before you, and you pay no attention to her? Rav Nachman ignored her and said to his students, "Pi'isa hida, this woman is a screamer, and she's entitled only to the value of the wood that was stolen from her, but not the wood itself." Point number two is Tana Braisa, Yavash Pasul, Rabbi Yehuda Makshir. A dry lulav is pasul, but Rabbi Yehuda is makshirit. Rav has said that the machokas pertains to a lulav, but not to an esrog. The Rabban Sabri makshinu lulav esrog, for the Rabban hold that we make a hekesh between the lulav and the esrog as follows. Ma esrog boy hadar, af lulav boy hadar. Just as the esrog requires beauty, so too the lulav requires beauty. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that we do not make the hekesh and the lulav does not require beauty. Avo be esrog divrei kol hadar be'in. However, concerning the esrog, everybody agrees that it requires beauty. When Rabbi is challenged based on the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says, Yagdenu lamala, one should tie a lulav at the top if the leaves are spread apart, presumably because of hither, the Gemara answers that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the words kapos tamarim can be read kafus, tied up, to teach that the lulav should be tied. And if it was spread apart, one should tie it together. The Gemara is unsuccessful in proving that Rabbi Yehuda requires hither for a lulav, but does refute Rabbi's statement that Rabbi Yehuda requires hither for an esrog from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda is makshir, an old esrog. And pointing me through, the Mishnah Daf Chav Tetz Amud Beis stated, Nikdem Rosho Pasul. If the lulav's top is clipped off, it's pasul. Rav Huna said that they only taught this concerning the case where the top is actually clipped off of all nistak kasher, but if it was merely split, the lulav is kosher. The Gemara questions whether a split lulav is kosher from a brice in the tot. Lulav kafuf kavut saduk akum doma lamago pasul. A lulav that is bent over that looks like a fishhook, barbed, meaning that it has thorny stems protruding from its spine, split or curved like a sickle, is pasul. We see from here that nistak is pasul. Rapapa said, da'avi ki himnak. The brice refers to a case where the lulav is made like a himnak. Rashi explains that the brice is not referring to a lulav whose leaves have split open, but rather to a lulav that grew in the shape of a himnak, which is a metal tool used by sofrim that is forked at one end. If the lulav grew in this shape, it appears to have two spines, with the leaves reaching in the opposite directions. Such a lulav is pasul, but a lulav whose leaves have split open is kosher. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, a brisa stated, Gazel Eitzim V'Sichok Behem Divrei Kol Einu El Dameh Eitzim. If one stole pieces of wood and made a sukkah with them, all agree that the original owner has the right to receive only the value of the wood, and the robber may keep the sukkah. The Gemara brings an incident where a certain elderly woman came before Rav Nachman and said to him, the Reish Galus and all the Rabbanan in the Reish Galus's house have been sitting in a stolen sukkah, for the wood has been stolen from me. She screamed, demanding that her wood be returned, but Rav Nachman paid no attention to her. She said to him, a woman whose father had 318 servants, which Rashi says is a reference to Abraham Avinu, who owned 318 servants, is screaming before you, and you pay no attention to her? Rav Nachman ignored her and said to his students, Pe'isi da, this woman is a screamer, ve'en la el demei etzim blavad, and she's entitled only to the value of the wood that was stolen from her, but not the wood itself. Point number two, is taught in a braisa, Yavish Pasul, Rabbi Yehuda Makshir, a dry lulav is pasul, but Rabbi Yehuda is a makshir. Rav has said that the machokas pertains to a lulav, but not to an esrog. The Rabban Savrei makshin lulav esrog, for the Rabban hold that we make a hekesh between the lulav and the esrog as follows. Ma esrog boy hadar, av lulav boy hadar. Just as the esrog requires beauty, so too the lulav requires beauty, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that we do not make the hekesh and the lulav does not require beauty. But Rav continues, aval be esrog divrei kol hadar be'inan. However, concerning the esrog, everybody agrees that it requires beauty. When Rav is challenged based on the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says, Yagdenu lamala, one should tie a lulav at the top if the leaves are spread apart, presumably because of hither, the Gemara answers that Rabbi Yehuda holds the words kapos tamarim can be read kafus, tied up, to teach that the lulav should be tied up, v'imaya parud yachtafenu, and if it was spread apart, one should tie it together. The Gemara is unsuccessful in proving that Rabbi Yehuda requires hither for a lulav, but does refute Rav's statement that Rabbi Yehuda requires hither for an esrog, from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda is makshir, an old esrog. And pointing with you, the Mishnah Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis stated, Nikdam Rosho Pasul, if the lulav's top is clipped off, it's pasul. Rav Huna said that they only taught this concerning the case where the top is actually clipped off. Aval nistak kasher, but if it was merely split, the lulav is kosher. The Gemara questions whether a split lulav is kosher from a braisa of the tot. Lulav kafu, kavutz, saduk, akum, domo, lamago, pasul. A loof that is bent over, that looks like a fish hook, barbed, meaning that it has thorny stems protruding from its spine, split or curved like a sickle, is pasul. We see from here that nistak is pasul. Rapapa said, da abid ki himnak. The Brice refers to a case where the loof is made like a himnak. Rashi explains that the Brice is not referring to a lulav whose leaves have split open, but rather to a lulav that grew in the shape of a himnak, which is a metal tool used by sofrim that is forked at one end. If the lulav grew in the shape, it appears to have two spines, with the leaves reaching in opposite directions. Such a lulav is possible, but a lulav whose leaves are split open is kosher. All right, so now we go to the siman for Daf Lamed Aleph, and our standard siman relates to the word law. We use a judge as the siman, a judge. So here goes. The woman screaming at the judge sitting in the sukkah made from wood she claimed was stolen became enraged when he gave her a dry lulav and an old esrog as compensation and told her they were kosher and not to worry that the lulav was split. Once again, in slow motion. The woman screaming at the judge, that must be more daf lamed aleph, the law. The woman screaming at the judge sitting in the sukkah made from wood she claimed was stolen, which reminds us that the Braisa stated, Gazal Eitzim V'sicha Behen Divrei Kol Einu El Deme Eitzim. If one stole pieces of wood and made a sukkah with them, all agree that the original owner has the right to receive only the value of the wood, and the robber may keep the sukkah. And the Gemara brings an incident of the elderly woman who screamed at Rav Nachman, who was sitting in a sukkah made of wood that was stolen from her, and he told her that all she gets is the Deme Eitzim. So the woman screaming at the judge sitting in the sukkah made from wood she claimed was stolen became enraged when he gave her a dry lulav and an old esrog as compensation and told her they were kosher. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa yavish pasul, Rabbi Yehuda makshir. A dry lulav is pasul, but Rabbi Yehuda is makshir. Rava said that the machlokes pertains to a lulav, but not to the esrog. The Rabban Savri makshin lulav la esrog, for the Rabban hold that we make a hekesh between the lulav and the esrog as follows. Ma esrog by hadar, af lulav by hadar. Just as the esrog requires beauty, so to the lulav requires beauty, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that we do not make the hekesh and the lulav does not require beauty. Rava continued, however, concerning the esrog, everybody agrees it requires beauty. The Gemara refutes this on the fact that Rabbi Yehuda is makshir, an old esrog. So the woman, screaming at the judge sitting in the sukkah made from wood she claimed was stolen, became enraged when he gave her a dry lulav and an old esrog as compensation and told her they were kosher and not to worry that the lulav was split. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis stated, in Nikdam Roshu Pasul, if the lulav's top is clipped off, it's pasul. Rav Huna said, they only taught this concerning the case where the top is actually clipped off, aval nistak kosher. But if it was merely split, the lulav is kosher. When a brice is brought that says a split lulav is pasul, Rav Papa answered, the brice refers to a case where the lulav was made like a himnak. Rashi explains the brice is not referring to a lulav whose leaves have split open, but rather to a lulav that grew in the shape of a himnak, which is a metal tool used by sofrim that is forked at one end. If the lulav grew in the shape, it appears to have two spines with the leaves reaching in opposite directions. Such a lulav is pasul, but a lulav whose leaves have split open is kosher. So once again, the woman screaming at the judge sitting in the sukkah made from wood she claimed was stolen became enraged when he gave her a dry lulav and an old esrog as compensation and told her they were kosher and not to worry that the lulav was split. All right, so now it's time for a four blot back chazorah. Dav Chav Zayin. So the siman Chav Zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. The boy who drove his neighbors crazy playing his kazoo. That must be more Dav Chav Zayin. The boy who drove his neighbors crazy playing his kazoo straight for the amount of time it takes to eat 14 su'udos, which reminds us, as Malkokas Rabbi Gazim the Chachamim, regarding how many su'udos one must eat in the sukkah based on the concept of teshukein teduro. Rabbi Yezer says one must eat 14 su'udos, since in one's house, he eats one meal during the day and one during the night. And the Chachamim say there's no fixed amount except for the first night, because they hold, in a house, if one wants to eat, he eats, and if he doesn't want to eat, he doesn't. So the boy who drove his neighbors crazy playing his kazoo straight for the amount of time it takes to eat 14 su'udos, who then left the sukkah and went into a second sukkah to do it again, which reminds us, it's a malkokas for Rabbi Yezer and the Chachamim whether one can use two different sukkos based on the pasuk of Chagas Sukkos Tasel Chashivas Yamim. Rabbi Yezer holds one must erect a sukkah that is fit for all 7 days, and the Chachamim hold Ases Sukkah B'Chag, meaning if one only requires a sukkah for 1 day, he must erect a sukkah. So the boy who drove his neighbors crazy playing his kazoo straight for the amount of time it takes to eat 14 su'udos, who then left the sukkah and went to a second sukkah to do it again, was immediately escorted home because he was told he must only play in a sukkah that was his family's possession. Which reminds us, it's a Malkus Reyes and the Chachamim, whether one can fulfill his chiyuv by dwelling in his friend's sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda holds that just as a person does not fulfill his chiyuv to take a lulav on the first day of sukkahs with his friend's lulav, based on v'lakachtem lechem, so too a person cannot fulfill his chiyuv by dwelling in his friend's sukkah, for it's written, Chagas Sukkos Tasel Chosh Yivaz Yamim. A Chagas Sukkos you shall make for yourselves for 7 days, from which we derive Mishol Acha, the sukkah must be from your own possessions. The Chachamim say that one can fulfill his chiyuv in his friend's sukkah, for it's written, Kol ezroch b'Yisrael yesh b'sukkos. All the natives of Yisrael shall dwell in sukkos. The pasuk teaches, Shekol Yisrael ruin leisha b'sukkah achas, that all of Yisrael are fit to sit in one sukkah. Rashi explains that the pasuk implies that the entire nation can fulfill their chiyuv by going into a single sukkah, one person after the other. Tav Chav Ches, so the symbol Chav Ches is a strong man, koach, a strong man. So here goes. The strong man, that must be more in Tav Chav Ches. The strong man who was furious when birds kept burning up over a sukkah and falling over his heavy weights, which reminds us that it was Tana Brice at Hillel Zaken and 80 Talmudim, 30 of whom were worthy that the Shekhinah should rest upon them as it did on Moshe Benu, 30 of whom were worthy that the sun should stand still for them as it did for Yeshua ben Nun, and there were 20 who ranked in between them. The greatest of them was Yonas ben Uziel, and the least of them was Rabbi Yochim ben Zaken. After enumerating all the capabilities of Rabbi Yochim ben Zaken, that it says about Yonas ben Uziel that when he sat and learned Torah, any bird that flew over him was immediately burned. So the strong man who was furious when birds kept burning up over a sukkah and falling all over his heavy weights, stormed past a group of women eating outside the sukkah, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why we need a halakha l'mushim Sinai to teach that women are putz from sukkah if it's a mitzvah zaseh shazman grama. Abai answered that it's needed as otherwise one might have thought, teshu kein teduro, the Torah's command, you shall dwell in sukkahs implies you should dwell in a sukkah the same way you dwell at home. Just as in a home a man and his wife dwell together, so too in a sukkah a man and his wife should dwell together. Rav said that halakha l'mushim Sinai is necessary to exempt women from sukkah, for one might have thought that the gezer shava of chamishasar, the link sukkahs to Pesach comes to teach that just as women are chayv and achilas matzah, even though it's a mitzvah zaseh shazman grama, so too they're chayv and sukkah. So the strong man who was furious when birds kept burning up over a sukkah and falling all over his heavy weights, stormed past a group of women eating outside the sukkah and broke down the door only to find a little old man learning chumash and reviewing Mishnayos. Which reminds us that Brisa describes how a person should make a sukkah dearest keva, such as bringing his nice kalim and beautiful linens to the sukkah, also states, Mishanim Basukkah. He analyzes his Torah learning in the sukkah. The Gemara asks if this is correct, since Rava said that reading Chumash and reviewing Mishnah should be done in the sukkah, but analyzing the Torah can be done outside the sukkah. Rashi explains that the fresh air outside helps one have a clear mind. The Gemara answers that Brisa is referring to reviewing material that he already clarified, whereas Rava is referring to new material. Daf Chavtes, so the Simur Chavtes is a cot. So here goes. As the empty cot, that must be more Daf Chavtes. As the empty cot in the sukkah got soaked from the rain, while the family ate inside, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brisa that if one was eating in a sukkah and it began raining and he left the sukkah and continued his meal in his house, that even if it stops raining, we do not trouble him to go back into the sukkah until he finishes his meal and wishes to eat another meal. Rashi explains that once he sat down to continue his meal, he's no longer chayev to return to the sukkah, even if it stops raining. And similarly, if one was sleeping in the sukkah and began raining and he left his sukkah and went to sleep in his house, even if it stops raining, we do not trouble him to go back to the sukkah until it becomes light when dawn begins to break. So as the empty cot in the sukkah got soaked from the rain, while the family ate inside, the master poured a pitcher on the face of a thief, which reminds us the Mishnah brought a mashal for when one is forced out of the sukkah because of rain. To what is it compared? To a slave who came to pour wine for his master, and he poured a pitcher of water on his face. The Gemara here brings a brice that clarifies that it's as if the master spilled a pitcher of water on the slave's face and said to him, I don't desire your service. So as the empty cot in the sukkah got soaked from the rain, while the family ate inside, the master poured a pitcher on the face of a thief who tried to sneak in and steal his lulav. Which reminds the opening mission of the third parak states, a lulav ha-gazel ba-yavish puzzle. A stolen lulav or a dry one is puzzle. The Gemara asks regarding a stolen lulav that it's understandable that on the first day of the Chag, it's puzzle because it's written lachem. You shall take for yourselves on the first day the dal of meaning, which implies mishalachem, they should be your own property. But why on the second day of the Chag should a stolen lulav be puzzle? Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Mishum dehavli mitzvah hababa aver, because it's a mitzvah that's brought about through an avera. An object that's acquired through an avera is unfit for use in the performance of a mitzvah. Daf Lamed. So the Simur Daf Lamed is a Melamed, or a Rebbe. So here goes. The Rebbe, that must be more in Daf Lamed, Melamed. The Rebbe riding on a lame goat who made sure all his Talmudim paid the toll, which reminds us that the source for a mitzvah of Baba Aver comes from a comparison in the Pasuk that links stolen offerings to lame ones, just as a lame animal cannot be repaired as the blemish renders it permanently unfit to be offered, so too a stolen offering cannot be repaired, and it makes no difference whether it's before Yeush or after Yeush. The more then brings the mashal of a king paying his own tolls to serve as an example to travelers to not avoid the tolls, with the nimshal being that Hashem wants Yidden to learn from him to distance themselves from theft. So the Rebbe, riding on a lame goat who made sure all his Talmidim paid the toll, got stopped by cops searching for stone lulavim being used on the second day of Sukkot, which reminds us that the Gemara brings Rebbe Yitzchak bar Nachmani, who said in the Mishmo that a stone lulav is only possible on the first day of Yantav, but on the second day of the Chag and thereafter, the rule is that since a person can be Yotzei with a bold lulav, he can be Yotzei with a stolen one. Rashi explains that Rebbe Yitzchak bar Nachmani holds that the only reason a stolen lulav cannot be used on the first day is the Torah's requirement that it be his own property. Just as on the second day he may use a borrowed lulav, he may use a stolen one. So the Rebbe, riding on a lame goat who made sure all his Talmidim paid the toll, got stopped by cops searching for stolen lulavim being used on the second day of Sukkot, while a nearby merchant instructed Nachum to cut hadassim twigs before giving them to him. Which reminds us of Rav Huna's guidance to the Dal of Mini merchants regarding selling hadassim, that they should let the Nachum cut the twigs themselves, since Nachum generally steal the land in which the hadassim trees grow, the karka in Nigzelis, but land cannot be stolen. This way, the Yesh Balim will be in the Nachri's hands, and then Shinui Rishus will be in the merchant's hands. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron, wishing you a great day and great learning.